What's happening, everybody? Welcome to episode 223 of the Lake Erie Currents podcast, sponsored by Fairly Decent Golf and our dear friend Bobby. Please check him out on the TikTok before they ban it, okay? Love you, Bobby. Thank you very much for your support. And all of our sponsors and patrons, we love you to death. Thank you very much. Don't forget to subscribe to the BitChute because it's the only place you're going to see video of this. And the show notes will be on the regular Podbean page where who hosts our stuff. So thank you. As opposed to news or specific political stuff, anarchy stuff, whatever, we're actually going to be dropping back into our separatist series. Just when you thought it was over, it is not. It is a very fun topic. We're staying in Europe. For those of you that want to catch up, there are 7 volumes of this topic that we have done from all of North America and venturing into the southern portion of North America, down into Mexico. And we have ventured over across the sea into Europe. We've done Corsica. We've done Sardinia. We've done a lot of cool stuff. Well, today, again, I'm going to have to make sure that I phrase this correctly, because we do have an international audience and we do have some listeners in the United Kingdom. And I'm not trying to piss anybody off, so I may use some words interchangeably. It's not meant to make anybody upset, but we are going to talk about a separatist group that is fairly well known here in the United States due to the large population of this particular ethnicity. And we're going to be talking about Ireland, and we're going to be talking specifically about Northern Ireland, or the North of Ireland, depending on where you're born. I was told that it's the North of Ireland when I've been there. Again, not trying to upset you. We're just trying to tell you what it is. We're going to be talking primarily about Ulster. So the 4 ancient provinces of Ireland, which is Leinster, Ulster, Connacht, and Munster. We're talking about the northeastern portion, which is still part of the United Kingdom, internationally recognized as part of the United Kingdom. Ireland has had an interesting history with its English neighbors, to say the least, in 700, 800 years of history, almost 1,000 years of history. And you may be wondering, well, Jay, what does this have to do with the beginnings of all of the problems we had starting in the 1920s, for example? Well, as you know, it just doesn't start overnight. Usually these things take a long time to brew. And we're going to go back a little bit in history. And yes, I get to talk about something that I hate probably as much, almost as much as spontaneous, uncontrollable, hot diarrhea. And that's Puritans. Yeah, that's up there, right? So believe me, when I say that I hate the Puritans as much as uncontrollable, hot diarrhea, spontaneous, believe it, not a fan. But we're going to go back before that. So to set the stage, what is synonymous with the conflict in Ireland? It's usually based on what? Religion, right? Mm-hmm. So you have 2 different groups of people. You have Protestants and Catholics, right? Roman Catholics with the Pope, Protestants, which is a mixed bag of Anglicans, but mostly Presbyterians. There's 2 kinds of Presbyterians. There's regular ones from Scotland, and then there's free-willed Presbyterians, and then there's Baptists, and it's just, there's a whole bunch of them. And for a long time, they haven't gotten along. But before that, it's interesting that Catholicism is usually associated with the majority of the population of Ireland. And people might be wondering, well, Jay, how did the Roman Church get to be in charge of all of those people? What's funny that you should ask that question. See, before England started getting involved in Ireland, Christianity was already a growing thing, like it was in all of the Roman Empire post-Constantine, right? It was just the national religion of the entire empire. Who was in the empire to the east of Ireland? Britannia, right? And they're like, right, we're all Christians now. No more sacrificing people. We're going to do this now. And everybody's like, all right, we're going to send our missionaries out there. Christianity had already come to Ireland well before the establishment of the power of the Roman Church. Okay. For those of you who may not be familiar with this, see, I told you we were going backwards, right? For a while, right? There was an invasion in 1066 in England by William the Conqueror. The last part of his name is not Mr. Conqueror, okay? William of Normandy. We'll just call him Mr. Conqueror, though. Mr. Conqueror shows up and wins the Battle of Hastings against Harold, right? Beats Harold. There's an arrow through the eye or whatever. He gets crowned king on Christmas Day, 1066, right? He's in charge. And the Pope is like, this is great. We love it. This is good because he's one of us. He works for us. Yes, William, Mr. Conqueror, he's one of us. And then the Pope is like, hey, Bill, there's these unruly fuckers to your west. And I'm not talking about Wales because you already beat them up. We're talking about Ireland, Hibernia. And they're kind of doing Christianity, but they're not doing it our way. And we would like you to go over there and straighten those fuckers out. And William, Mr. Conqueror of Normandy, now King William, he goes, well, Mr. Pope, just so happens that I'm your guy. I'm your Huckleberry. So they go over, and that's the Norman conquest of Ireland, which establishes Rome's dominance over Ireland and brings in what is called the Celtic Church, Celtic Christianity, that existed in all of the British Isles before Rome came in, thanks to the Normans. And then you have the Roman Catholic Church. So now if you want to piss somebody off, be like, hey, just remember, being loyal to the Roman Catholic Church, it actually comes from England imposing that on you. But whatever. That's going to very upset a lot of people very quickly. So fast forward. We have Martin Luther, right? Martin Luther's from Germany. He had these 92 theses. He goes up to the church door. He nails them on there. It's called Reformation Day. He's like, hang on a minute here. There's a lot of bad things. We have something called the Protestant Reformation, right? Protestantism in the continent is very different than Protestantism in England. There's a guy you've probably heard of, Henry VIII. Lots of wives. Couldn't get a boy, right? Kept fucking trying. Well, fucking. He kept fucking making ladies, except for Edward VI, who was his successor, who died early in his reign. But he kept, having women. And keep have not having babies. And he had two daughters, right? Mary and Elizabeth, right? And then he had Edward. Well, Henry is like a big Catholic until the Pope said, hold on a minute here. I've already granted you a bunch of these divorces. You're chopping people's heads off. Like, I mean, Hank, this isn't good. We have a reputation to uphold of, having sex with boys and doing terrible things to each other in the butthole. And he's like, I'm not granting the divorce. And Henry was like, well, how about fuck you? Now I'm in charge of the church and I'm booting you out, which is what happened. So the English Reformation was basically Catholicism without the Pope for a while. All right. He confiscates all the lands. He forces the Irish Church to become the Church of England, okay, to become Anglican. They're like, right, the Pope's not over there anymore. We're sorry about what the Normans did. Now I'm in charge of everything. And they're like, all right, great, more change. This is just what we wanted, right? Anyway, so he dies, son takes over. Son is very Calvinist, starts imposing all these different Calvinist principles. He dies, his sister takes over Mary, Mary number one. Mary is Roman Catholic. So Mary's like, oh, no, we're going back to the way things used to be. And they started killing Protestant people like crazy, right? The Irish people are kind of like, what the fuck's going on here, man? Like, what team are we on here? Like, what are we doing? What's going on, right? Okay, anyway, she dies childless. Queen Elizabeth, not the one that just died, you guys, the first one, okay? She's like, hey, listen, I like both these ideas. We're kind of going to go in the middle, right? We're going to go in the middle. And they're like, all right, we're going to go in the middle. But then it gets worse. So Ireland has had this reputation of being unruly. As most of you know, some of your Irish friends can be a little bit unruly, a little bit rebellious, a little bit, I want to call them snidey, or just rough. They're just rough folks. They like a drink and they like a fight most of the time, right? Well, the English are like, we need to get these fuckers in line. And the only way to do that is we're going to bring nice English and Scottish Protestant people over to Ireland so that way they'll listen to us and we'll boot the Catholic people out of the way. Which is what they tried to do several times. Somewhat successful, mostly unsuccessful, until Oliver Cromwell shows up. Those of you who have listened to me long enough or haven't been living under a rock should know who Oliver Cromwell is. He is one of the worst human beings that has ever existed, a truly vile individual, not a nice guy. So he takes over, okay? He beats he he they establish the Commonwealth of England. It's no longer a monarchy. He's kind of like the king, but without a crown. All this other good stuff, right? So Oliver Cromwell's not a nice guy, and it's called the Cromwellian Conquest of Ireland, right? Okay. So he brings the New Model Army over, okay? There was a huge rebellion against King Charles I. All of this stuff happens. It's called the Confederation War, right? So Cromwell's like, these Catholics are a real fucking problem, okay? And we need some land, and we need some loyal people to go over there. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to publish these. It's essentially yellow journalism in the 17th century, where they're like, the Catholics have tails, like long tails, like devils. And they're eating Protestant children in the streets and shitting them out. Like, it's bad things are happening over there. We have to straighten them out. I mean, these things kind of repeat themselves over history, but whatever. How many wars have we lived through over here? What was the Iraq War thing where they were throwing babies out of incubators in Iraq and it turned out to not actually be true? Remember that, Chris?
Oh,
More.
what do you call it again? I'm gonna do a search to see if I can find it.
Call what?
What they said that the Catholic people were.
The devils with tails. It was they were ginning up these press articles where they said, these Catholic people have tails and they're eating Protestant people. It's wild shit. So he goes over there. Now, mind you, this is all money motivated because this is land that he's going to take away from the leg from the natives and give to his loyal group. So he goes in there, fucks everybody up. He wins the war. Okay. I mean, we're talking about between 200 to 600,000 civilian casualties from either disease or famine, okay, or directly because of war. All right. So he takes over. He does a great job. The end of the Catholic Confederation, destruction of like the Catholic gentry that owned land, gone, given to Protestant people, right? Okay, fine. This continues on. For the most part, in the far west, you still have some people that have a little bit of liberty or what have you. And by the way, after Oliver Cromwell dies, his son takes over and they boot him out. They posthumously dug up Oliver Cromwell's body and hanged him posthumously because he was so disliked.
That'll teach him.
That'll you take that, Mr. Cromwell, you son of a bitch.
You're already dead, but we're gonna fucking kill you again, you son of a bitch.
After all that damage has been done, right?
Yeah.
All of that damage. So the thing is the most successful plantation of Protestant people in Ireland was in the northeast, in Ulster, where you'll find the cities of Derry or Belfast, right? Or Newry, the six counties, okay? That was the most successful one. Most of these folks can trace their lineage back to Scotland. That's why there's a distinct group of people called Ulster Scots. All right. They're actually of Scottish extraction that are from Ireland. Okay. This was the most successful plantation. The rest of the country, and then in 178 and 1798, there was a big rebellion. It was called the 1798 Rebellion, where it was a Catholic and Protestant joint effort to overthrow Great Britain's authority in Ireland, which failed miserably. And Great Britain won. It was the last time that was to happen. Okay. So let's fast forward a little bit into history, right? So as we go forward, now mind you, I've been to Ireland 3 times and I still have family there, and that's who I stay with when I go. So we fast forward, okay, and then there's the Irish War of Independence, which starts on Easter Monday of 1916, and the war goes on, bless you, to 1922. And Ireland wins nominal independence, meaning that the British army goes home from 26 of the counties. However, the island is partitioned because the six most Protestant counties, okay, decide we don't want to go with them because they have tails and they're going to eat us. And we don't want to be a part of their country. We're afraid of them. So we want to be British. And they're like, all right, I guess that's what's going to happen. So there's a partition. Now, mind you, there's still Catholic people that live in Northern Ireland, or the six counties, or Ulster, or however you want to call it. So there was general violence at that time in the 20s also. Things start to calm down a little bit, right? This is post-World War I. This is post-Irish War of Independence. There's still, I don't want, I mean, discrimination is still something that they deal with now, but far more back then. You had specific neighborhoods that people lived in. If you're Catholic, you lived there. If you're Protestant, you lived there. Whatever. Okay. Then the 60s start. Now, I know this is a whirlwind tour. I could go for days on this subject. We don't have days, we have an hour. So, fast forward. The civil rights movement in the United States is kicking off, right? Some of you have heard of Martin Luther King, right? One man, one vote, that sort of thing. Well, there were laws in Northern Ireland that prevented Catholic people from, owning property in some cases. There were unwritten rules of discrimination as far as allowing Catholic people to get jobs. So a large portion of the population were renters that were Catholic, poor, didn't have any money because they weren't able to obtain meaningful employment that would help them because of discrimination. So they started protesting in the street, and they're like, listen, we want to be treated as regular equal people. Now, some of you may have heard of this organization. They're called the Irish Republican Army. Okay. The Irish Republican Army was very successful during the Irish War of Independence, in which case Ireland technically won because they got their independence somewhat from England, a little bit, Great Britain, excuse me. They were pretty quiet for a number of decades up until this point. The Protestant people, and I'm not talking about all of them, I'm sure many of you are lovely people, okay? Again, this is an American perspective. Before I get to, oh, you don't fucking listen, we live in Ohio, neighbor. Like, I'm not, you're whatever. It's your thing. I have to be very careful. I don't want my car to get blown up. They don't like this. They're like, listen, you stay in your fucking lane. We're in charge. You're not going to be a part of this gang. So the Catholic people were not putting up with this, and they're like, no, listen, you need to treat us a little bit better because we're having a real hard time with this. This is not good. We can't get anywhere. There's no way for us to be successful. So it was the Northern Ireland Civil Rights Association who wanted to end discrimination against the minority community by the Protestant-dominated unionist government. Unionist meaning we want to remain part of the United Kingdom. The government tries to stop the protest. The Royal Ulster Constabulary, also known as the police, because it is a police of the country, okay? Because it's the model of the United Kingdom. It's not like here where you have the Canton Police or the Akron Police. It's just Royal Ulster Constabulary. Now it's called the Police Service in Northern Ireland. Overwhelmingly Protestant, and known for brutality and being very sectarian, fought them. So then there were riots in 1969. And guess what? So this goes back and forth. The United Kingdom government is like, what do we do here? Like, this is a problem. Well, what they do is they do what they do best and send their fucking army. The British Army gets deployed to Northern Ireland. And I don't know if you guys know this, it's called Operation Banner. Operation Banner was the longest continuous deployment of British troops in the history of the British Army from 1969 to 2007. So they were deployed that long. Catholic people are like, oh, thank God, somebody's here to help us out. That's what you think. Because these poor fuckers are caught in the middle. Most of these people won't want anything to do with this. They're like, we're from England. Like, we don't know what the fuck your problem is. So they get involved in this in the middle. So I want you to think about this. So you have the Irish Republican Army who wants to separate from Great Britain. They're like, we want Ulster to be part of all of Ireland, the entire island, under a Irish socialist government. They are Catholic, but they are somewhat secular. They don't want to impose, like, they don't want the Pope to be in charge of the country, but that's the community they identify with. And a lot of people will say, well, Jay, the religiosity, meaning church attendance in all of these countries, has been on the decline. And it's like, well, yes, it has been. However, in Northern Ireland, it's higher, and religion is tied to nationalistic identity. It's not as simple. Like, Chris, Angel, and I live in cities where you have five different churches on the same block, and they all go to the same greasy spoon on Sunday, and everybody fucking gets along. That's why I like living here. Okay? That's why I like living here, because everybody pretty much is like, yeah, sure, you do your thing, we'll do our thing, whatever. That's not the case over there. And people are like, well, aren't they all Christian? Yes, but they don't see things the way we do here. Okay? It's tied to their identity. And the best part about this is, and Christopher, I could tell you this right now because I listened to a radio program in England where they were making fun of the loyalists, meaning those who were loyal to the British crown in Northern Ireland. They called them an embarrassment because all of the people in England are like, what the fuck is wrong with you? We don't even like them as much as you do, and you're not even fucking English. Like, what is your problem? Why don't you calm down a little bit? So every year, again, I'm going to rewind the tape, and I know heads are probably rolling and swimming in this information. So 1691, the Battle of the Boyne takes place between James II and William of Orange. So if you've seen the Irish flag, it's green, white, and orange. This is where this is coming from. Orange is symbolizes Protestantism, green symbolizes Catholicism, and white is supposed to symbolize the unity of the people. Okay. So 1691, Battle of the Boyne happens. James II is beaten. The Catholic king is beaten by William of Orange, called the Glorious Revolution, defeats him at the Boyne, 1691. Okay? Which reestablishes Protestant hegemony and also the elimination of Catholics in the line of succession to the British throne, period. It's a law. You can't be Catholic and be the king of Great Britain. You can't. Yet it's just not possible. You will not be included. Okay? You have to take an oath, as a matter of fact, to uphold that. Okay, so he takes over July 12th, 1691. Every July 12th, they commemorate this victory in Protestant communities by marching bands through Catholic neighborhoods. Every July 12th, it's called the marching season. And what do you think happens every July 12th? People get fucking pissed off. It'd be like us. Like, I don't know, federal troops marching through a Native American reservation saying, hey, just to remind you, we whooped that ass. Remember that? We killed a shitload of you motherfuckers. Remember that? You like that? People aren't going to like that very much. So every summer, there's violence all over the place. They also build these huge. Angel, can you find this real quick and put it up there for folks? They have these massive bonfires that are made out of pallets that are like 50 feet tall. And they climb on these pallets and they put like Irish flags on them to burn them in these in the, and they do it so the Catholic neighbors can see it just to piss them off. Yeah, put in their loyalist bonfires, bonfire towers, Belfast or something like that. So they do this every marching season just to piss people off, okay? Just to piss people off. So the Irish Republican Army sees this as a great opportunity to jump it back into the game. One terrible thing happens. Anybody ever listen to U2 on here? You know the band U2, Bono? Yes. Everybody heard the song Bloody Sunday? Sunday, Bloody Sunday? Okay. Well, that's based on an actual historical event that happened. Okay. Go ahead, show that, Angel. You got that?
Okay,
Look
yes.
at this shit.
So here's like, one.
Fuck me.
But like there's this other one that I saw that was pretty impressive.
I mean, it is. You got to climb this thing like a monkey to get up there.
I mean, look at that.
Unemployment
I mean,
high.
but look, okay, so think about this and
Yeah.
think about, look at this.
Yeah, they're yeah.
What is, I mean, are these people insane?
I don't know what to tell you. I'm sure they mean well.
And then you got this one.
Yeah, that's what I meant. They put Irish flags on it and they set it on fire in view of their Catholic neighborhood neighbors just to let them know, hey neighbor, fuck you. Yeah, that's a real fucking hazard. Look at that shit, man. That's like every pallet in the warehouse times 10 back in the day, man.
Mean, look at this.
It's a construction site. They have scaffolding for them.
Fucking Irish burning man.
Really?
I mean, like, don't you have anything better to do with your fucking time?
No, they're
Than,
like, fuck you, neighbor.
like,
Yeah, look at that one. And there's William of Orange right there. July's, yeah, okay. There you go. 1690, excuse me, not 1691. There you go. William of Orange. And they put that, yep, there you go. There's more of that. Fuck council and the big black cock.
Yeah.
BBC. Yeah. You fuck that BBC, buddy.
I mean, is
What is the
this?
hanging guy over there to the right? They put an effigy up there. Who are they hanging?
Then
A Jerry Adams. part of the Sinn Féin party. Okay, hey, great. That I'm sure they get along fine with each other. Sounds like fun.
I mean, so like they're still doing this shit,
Yeah.
or like what's happening?
Imagine that on a fucking a tourism brochure. Visit Belfast, of course, in July, and enjoy the marching season, and of course, enjoy the fucking bonfire season. Tags will be crucified. That tags is slang. It's a pejorative for Catholic people. So Catholics will be crucified. Okay. Again, wonderful place.
I mean, there's like just
Was there a
all
Nazi flag? What is that shit where it says Ulster Defense Force? What is that one? It's in
here.
the yeah. What is they have? Oh, Nazi flags erected near loyalist bonfires. Talk about trying to associate yourself with probably the least savory people. Wow, that's fucking incredible. Ulster Young Militants. Yeah, the UDA, that stands for the Ulster Defense Association. It is a Protestant paramilitary organization. The Shankill Road is known as a Protestant neighborhood. And of course, you have the Scottish flag, the British flag, and then the flag of Northern Ireland. There's the Orange Order marching through neighborhoods, commemorating that great victory that I told you about. Well, the IRA saw this as a great recruiting event. Well, it only got worse because then there was an event called Bloody Sunday, which happened in Derry, where 13 unarmed civil rights demonstrators were shot dead by the British Army in an event that became known as Bloody Sunday. Protesters, all Catholics, were marching in protest to the British policy of internment of suspected Irish nationalists. You might be wondering, what do you mean internment? Well, they had something called extrajudicial internment, where they used something called the five techniques. What are the five techniques? Well, as Americans, we should know what they are because they were used on Iraqis and after 9/11, and they were invented by British intelligence. Known as deep interrogation. A group of interrogation methods developed in the UK during the 20th century, currently regarded as a form of torture. Internet, it has been determined as torture. Originally developed as a variety, a way to quell 20th century conflicts, they are most notable for being applied to detainees in Northern Ireland during what is called the Troubles, that is between 1969 and
Do you
1998.
mind if I just show this one more thing?
Yeah, no, please go ahead.
Okay, so like I just found this interesting because this is another one of those towers, but it's like they built this ornate top,
Spire.
yeah, for like, and then they're gonna burn it.
Great. I think that's a wonderful way to spend your time.
I mean, like that's kind of, obvious like what this is, but I mean,
Fun place.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
They
That's
have
all
the
I had.
Giant's Causeway, though, by. I mean, they do have a lot of cool stuff
Well,
that you
we'll
can
go
visit
there.
there, but I just not in July. I certainly want to go there in July. They were first used in Northern Ireland as part of Operation Demetrius, mass arrest and internment of people suspected involvement with the Irish Republican Army. Out of those arrested, 14 were subjected to a program of deep interrogation using the five techniques that took place at the Shackleton Barracks, a secret interrogation center in the north of Ireland. For 7 days, while not being interrogated, the detainees were kept hooded and handcuffed in a cold cell and subjugated to continuous loud hissing noise. Here, they are forced to stand in stress positions for many hours, deprived of sleep, food, and drink. They are also repeatedly beaten, and some reported being kicked in the genitals, having their heads banged against walls, and being threatened with injections. The effect was prolonged pain, physical and mental exhaustion, severe anxiety, depression, hallucinations, excuse me, disorientation, and repeated loss of consciousness. It also resulted in long-term psychological trauma. The 14 became known as the Hooded Men and were the only detainees in Northern Ireland subjugated to all five techniques together. Other detainees were subjugated to at least one of the five. In 1976, the European Commission of Human Rights ruled that the five techniques amounted to torture. The case then was referred to the European Court of Human Rights. In 1978, the court ruled that the techniques were inhuman and degrading and breached Article 3 of the European Convention on Human Rights. The court's ruling the five techniques did not amount to torture later was cited by the United States when it didn't amount to torture by the convention. In 2014, after information was uncovered that showed the decision to use the five techniques in Northern Ireland had been taken by ministers, the Irish government asked the European Court of Human Rights to review the judgment. In 2018, the court declined. So the United States saw this and said, oh, but the highest court said it's not torture. Noted. Very much so. The U.S. used its own interrogation methods, included the five techniques during the Iraq War. The illegal use of five techniques by British service members contributed to the death of Baha Moussa. In 2021, the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom found the use of the five techniques finally amounted to torture. So, yeah, the Brits did get it right eventually, you know, whatever. But over here, we're still using them. So be careful what you do over there. So that was happening, right? So the IRA uses this as a great opportunity to recruit people. So here is the so the IRA is trying to separate from Great Britain and be part of Ireland. These are the groups that they're fighting against. I had to write them all down. First, the RUC, the Royal Ulster Constabulary. That is the police force of Northern Ireland at the time. The UDA, the Ulster Defence Association, a Protestant paramilitary organization. The UDR, the Ulster Defence Regiment, another Protestant paramilitary organization, and the UVF, the Ulster Volunteer Force, another Protestant paramilitary organization, and to top it all off, the British Army, all at the same time. Now, the IRA wasn't alone in that at all. They also had something called the INLA, which is the Irish National Liberation Army, which is a communist socialist organization. Not anybody I would ever have tea with, but whatever. They also fought against, in fact, they were, some people have argued that they're a little bit more bloodthirsty. I mean, their body count is much lower, but shit gets bad. So anytime you kill regular people who are not involved in your bullshit, it's a bad look. The IRA started blowing up cars in front of fish and chip shops. They started shooting people in fucking bars. Well, guess what happens? The Protestant groups start doing the same fucking shit. Like, and if you look, Angel, look this up. Type in Peace Wall, Belfast. You're gonna think these images come out of fucking Palestine and Israel. No, this is a European city right now. They still have walls separating the two communities to this day. And to see it is an interesting thing. It's very interesting. So you have this that goes back and forth for the longest period of time. Yes, thank you. I mean, look at this. This is a European city that is separated by walls. So on one side you have Catholic people, on the other side you have Protestant people. It's just wild shit, man. Look at that. Yeah.
So I was just trying to make this bigger so that you could
No, that's fine.
see it a little bit better.
Barbed wire on top. Some of these walls actually have something to keep projectiles being thrown from out of from one neighbor to the other. You got any more of those?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, have you ever seen any of these before? Yeah, it's pretty wild, man.
This one's kind of interesting.
Yeah, with the murals. Yeah, that's very very nationalistic. But look at how high the fucking fencing is here. That's to prevent people from throwing shit at each other. Molotov cocktails, bombs, that sort of thing. Yeah. This is a European city. This is a European city right now. Wild shit. Yeah, great art. I mean, people are showing up and they're making really, you know, trying to make something out of nothing, I guess. So, yeah. Pretty wild, right?
Yeah.
So, all this goes on for the longest period of time. And again, it's hard to document all of the killing. Like, you have famous ones like that. The IRA blew up a fucking Remembrance Day. Like, it's our equivalent to Memorial Day, but they do it on Armistice Day. They blew up a bomb where Margaret Thatcher was in the area, the former Prime Minister of the UK. So on Remembrance Day at 11 o'clock, just like they did on Armistice Day, they still do this in most countries except for ours. They stopped to remember their war dead. The IRA said, hey, this is a great opportunity. Let's go ahead and set off a bomb. Well, that pisses off a lot of people. A lot of people, and they kill a bunch of people. There are places, there's things called like the King's Mill Massacre, that
Here's this one too,
go on.
this, you know.
Ready for peace, ready for war.
Prepared for
Oh,
peace, ready for
because it's
war.
fuzzy on my end. Oh, there we go. Okay. Yep.
You know, there's stuff like that.
Climate change affects everyone. I'd never th I my money wouldn't have been on that being on the display in Northern Ireland or the north of Ireland, depending on your perspective.
All of those people, I don't know.
They must be
Just
dead.
I just thought it was interesting. Like, there's a bunch of
No,
like.
that's wild shit, man. So, like the Kingsmill massacre, a bunch of people pulled over a bus filled with Protestant workers, and gunned them down. So then there was a response by loyalists. They killed six Catholics. That was response to six Catholics being murdered the night before. Catholic people got burned out of their neighborhoods by Protestant gangs. It's just a fucking mess. It goes back and forth, back and forth. You guys remember Whitey Bulger, the American gangster from Boston who was an FBI informant? He actually was trying to run guns to Northern Ireland to help the cause. Which is wild because the majority of the funding for what the IRA was doing came from Irish Americans who were like, yeah, we don't like what the British Army is, and we don't like what's going on over there, not really realizing that a lot of what they were supporting was going to eventually kill innocent people. And again, if you want to shoot British soldiers, I mean, have a ball. They're going to fucking get you one way or the other. But when you blow up a fish and chip shop with regular people just trying to fucking sit down and have a piece of fish, I have a problem with that. That's not cool. None of this is good. Again, if you put on a uniform, you're a cop or you're a soldier, you assume risk, especially if you're going here. Okay, whatever, right? But when you're killing fucking innocent people who've got nothing to do with your problem, that's nobody likes that shit, man. No, it's just
It's
not good.
actually what the song Zombie by the Cranberries is
Yes.
actually an anti-terrorist song. She wrote it after two children were killed in a bombing by the IRA.
It's fucking tragic. It really is. Then there were funeral processions that came under gunfire, so not even when people were burying their dead did they have the opportunity to relax a little bit. And the schools are divided. So like those of us that went to public school here in the US, you probably didn't even know what churches people went to if they went at all. You just went to school and you hung out and you shared licorice with each other at the lunch table or whatever, you know.
But then there's always like, oh, there's the one church and there's another church like a few, blocks away. It's like that's the good church and that's the rundown church, that's about it, There's no like, oh, well, this church, you know what I mean? It's like the nicer
All
church
them
in town.
goddamn dirty Protestants.
Up to no good as usual.
Up to no good. Let's go eat a full Irish breakfast and then go beat some Protestants.
But like growing up though, like the Catholic churches here in America were always like, oh, that's they go to the Catholic church or oh, that church is beautiful, or they go to the Catholic school, they're really smart, things like that. Like it was always associated with like good things, like Catholic church, Catholic organizations until the rapes, of course. But
Sure.
outside of that, there was no like, oh, you damn Catholics, like to my knowledge anyway, when I was growing up.
No, but again, most people in this country, at least if they don't like each other, they leave each other alone, which is one of the features of why I like to live here. It doesn't really, you just mind your own fucking business and just leave people alone. We'll all go to McDonald's after whatever it is that we're doing and eat a fucking bacon, egg, and cheese anyway.
I'm hungry.
Great. So the British Army did carry out extrajudicial killings of unarmed civilians. Victims were often suspected of Catholics being affiliated with any paramilitaries. There was something called the White Rock shooting of two unarmed Catholic civilians by British soldiers. Andersonstown shooting of seven unarmed Catholic civilians. A member of the British Army stated in 1978 that the army often attempted false flag sectarian attacks, provoking sectarian conflict and taking the heat off the army. A former member stated, "We were not there to act like an army unit. We were there to act like a terrorist group." So then you throw them on top of the fire, and then this shit just continues to burn. Like I said, you couple that with every July, they want to march through neighborhoods. And again, I love everybody. I don't care what religion you are, if you don't have any, it doesn't matter. But when you're trying to fucking put your thumb in somebody's eye, and then you're like, oh, well, why are they upset? Come on, neighbor. Come on, neighbor. Like, really? You won. So go do something productive with your fucking day. Why does it have to be this? So anyway, again, this is a small portion of the population, as it always is. That's always a small percentage of any group of people who act like assholes and ruin the fucking buffet for everybody else. Anyway, this goes on for the longest period of time. And then finally, in 1998, there was something called the Good Friday Agreement, where both sides are like, okay, this is getting out of control. We need to do something about this. We need to stop the bullshit. The Good Friday Agreement comes along, and I believe the returns on that were over 70% of the population voted in favor of a ceasefire and for reforms on both sides of the divide. They were like, this is retarded. Like, we really need to cut the bullshit. Stuff needs to slide. People need to. There was an incident after that in 2000 where Catholic schoolgirls were going to their school, and like these Protestant people came out and started spitting on them and throwing shit at them, and that was like one of the bigger ones. The flare-ups happen, like I said, every July, but nothing like it has been. Now, like, the Protestant groups will end up fighting each other over the drug trade. Like, now drugs are involved in the gangs, so that'll happen. And it's just, anyway, so far it has not been successful. However, the British Army did go home, and there were a lot of reforms that got, at least tacitly pushed through, where people, it's much better now than it was 40 years ago. I would say, at least superficially looking at it, it's a lot better. There's a lot more tourism. Again, don't go to Northern Ireland in fucking July, unless you're looking to get involved in something. Other than that, like I said, they're trying to promote tourism, and it's part of the United Kingdom still, so a lot of people from the mainland go over there and hang out. But yeah, this is just, I could go on for hours on this particular topic. And again, I want to be careful because I'm not trying to piss anybody off. It's hard to say, who do you blame here? Who do you blame? Now, on one side, they're going to say, well, you're going to blame the British, and you're going to blame that particular religious and ethnic group for, doing whatever. And then they're going to say the same fucking thing on the other side of the wall. It is a genuine mess. It's a genuine mess, because if you put one person from one community and one person from another community and put them together, they probably are indistinct. You couldn't tell, like, which one of these are Catholic and which one of these are Protestant. And it got so bad, in fact, in Christopher Hitchens' book, God Is Not Great, he talks about this during the Troubles, that people get pulled over, like, and they were atheists. They get pulled over by a paramilitary checkpoint, Chris, and they were asked, Protestant or Catholic, and the response would be like, atheist, and then the response was Protestant atheist or Catholic atheist, because fuck me.
You're one or the other, no matter what you say, lad.
Yeah, you got to pick a team here.
Yeah. Pick a team. Think carefully what your next words are.
Truly, what a scary fucking situation. So, I don't know, man. You couldn't pick them out. Go on.
Protestant atheist or Catholic atheist?
Dude, it's wild. It's wild because it's about your community and your identity. It's not so, it's a cultural thing, not so much a religious thing, because if you're religious, you'd be like, this is fucking retarded. We believe the same shit. We believe the same shit. Like, we agree on 90% of stuff, like, but when you throw national identity into it and, ethnic heritage or whatever, it becomes an entirely different story. Again, it's a very delicate topic because you just hate to see it. And like I said, when you've got children getting fucking blown up and shit for no reason at all, like, nobody should have to grow up with that shit. I don't care what your argument is. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. It's fucking disgusting. The IRA went over to England and started blowing shit up. And again, these are people that endured the Blitz by the Germans. If that didn't work on them, you doing what you're doing is not going to work on them either. It's just going to piss them off. Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, who's not a good guy, wrote a book called On Killing. And he talked about the psychological effects of bombing during the Second World War. And what was discovered, and I'm paraphrasing, is that Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman said the data suggested that individuals on both sides, whether they be German or British, the bombing pissed them off. It did not scare them. It's different when you have somebody like, marching through your neighborhood, like, say, in an Eastern European village that we're not going to mention on here. It's a lot different when you have a guy marching down your street with a gun, as opposed to an unseen airplane or unseen, you don't know where the bombs are coming from in this case, right? It builds resolve in an individual to resist. It's exactly, people are not going to bend to your will. Like I said, if they're not going to bend the will to the Germans, they're not going to bend their will to you, blowing up shit. And the IRA sometimes was very courteous. They would call in the bomb and be like, you've got 5 minutes to get the fuck out of Dodge, and then blow the whole damn thing up. But there was something called the Guilford bombing, where there was it was a pub in Guilford where the IRA detonated a bomb, and it killed a bunch of innocent people, and the justification was it was a soldier's bar. Well, the British government got a hold of four people who had nothing to do with it, called the Guilford Four. They actually made a movie of it with Daniel Day-Lewis called In the Name of the Father. They tortured these poor people into confessing to the bombing. And Jerry Connolly, I think that's his name, spent 20 some years in prison for a crime he did not commit. His father was implicated in the crime as well, and falsified evidence, the withholding of evidence, torture, confessions under duress. And his father died in prison, an innocent man. And then he finally got out afterwards. And they were all from Belfast, too, all of them. But yeah. And the British Army would just bust into somebody's house, no warrant, no anything, and then they take you off to these places. And of course, I did a report a number of years ago when I was in school, specifically using using electricity on the genitals to elicit confessions. So that I would probably fucking admit to the Kennedy assassination if you did that to me. Whatever, take,
Right,
yeah, stop
just
zapping my
please stop
balls.
shocking my balls.
Right. So, yeah, this was I just wanted to jump into this one because it's been kind of sitting on the desk for a while, and I had two up in the air, and I presented them to Christopher because I like to run my ideas by Chris. He's my trusted consigliere. And I said, Christopher, do we have a winner? And we picked this one. So this one is finally, we got this one off the table, one of the more difficult conversations to have. Again, this is more of a whirlwind tour. I could do days on the Irish Confederation Wars. I could do stuff on the Ulster Plantation, but you have to get the trouble with this, Chris, is you have to get the scope in a sense to see how you got here. You know what I mean? It just doesn't kick off out of nowhere. Nothing does.
Right.
There's a buildup, you know?
Everything's got its boiling point.
Yes, it sure does. And you remember that the 13 people they killed in Derry that I talked about, Bloody Sunday? Well, a number of years later, there was a group of people that came out to commemorate and hold like a prayer vigil for the 13 people that were murdered. The loyalist community saw that and ran up the British flag and the flag of the British paratrooper unit that committed the murders right in front of their face while they were trying to have this vigil for the victims of the massacre.
God, that's
So
some petty shit, man.
that's some hate, dude.
Jesus. Yeah.
That's some hate. So, and again, most Catholic people, most Protestant people, they just want to fucking get on with their lives and do normal shit. I'm sure that it's just a small group of people that are complete fucking retards, just like anything in life, that have ruined everything. It's usually the retards among us that ruin everything. So, what do you think about all this, Angel, after looking all this up? You,
I mean, and this is still going on.
not to the extent that it used to, but yes, every summer there's the marching season. There's a little bit of violence every summer because people get upset.
I mean, what are they still upset about? The same shit or different shit? Or they just hate each other because they can?
I guess that, well, when they march through Catholic neighborhoods and the Catholic people are like, please stop doing that, get the fuck out of here. And then the marching people are like, why are they upset? I don't understand. It's like, well, you won, it's okay, but you don't have to
All
fuck.
we're doing is packing their wounds with salt. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Why do you got to be a baby about it?
Yeah. Just get over it. It burns a little. I get it, but Jesus Christ.
It's true. So, yeah, no, it not to the extent, like in many ways things have improved drastically but from 30, 40 years ago, certainly. And with the British Army going home after 2007, some reforms that got implemented, and I think people for the most part wanted to move on past the violence that that they had to endure for the long. I mean, because that's hard stuff, man. Like years of you don't know if you're
Generational violence.
yeah you now
Eventually, it gets to the point where people further on down the line that some people had to have been like, what are we even fighting?
Yeah, truly. Truly. So, yeah, man, it's a dark, it was a dark time in history. And again, I'm all for, I just, at least people could go about their everyday lives and do, normal shit. Like most people just want to be normal. They want their kids to not get blown up when they're on a bus. They don't want to get beaten up in the street. They want opportunities for people to do their things. Yeah, so it's always a tough one to do because it's hard to explain because it's not as cut and dry as one would think. And it's multi-factioned and it's layers of stuff because of people on the surface of it, well, it's a religious thing. Kind of, but it's religion attached to fucking identity. So then that becomes, it quantifies the difficulty talking about it, because then I could talk about Carson's agreement in blood that he did in the 20s. And anyway, I could keep going on forever. If this particular topic interests somebody, let me know. We can talk more about it. There's plenty to pick apart here. Plenty to pick apart. So, and if you ever want to see, if you want to ever read or watch videos on individuals giving speeches, there's a famous one. Several famous one by the now deceased Reverend Ian Paisley, who was the head of the Free Will Presbyterian Church of Northern Ireland, a loyalist, where he says some unsavory things about his non-Presbyterian, non-Protestant neighbors. It's generally he wasn't the nicest person. None of the things he said were nice. Yeah, but it's a rough situation. So, Angel, yes. To some extent, most of this has gone away, but we still have issues that
Well,
pop up every now and again.
I think, it's a work in progress, I guess. I mean, it's sad that, all those people got hurt and things like that. And,
Sure.
but it's very educational because, you don't, we here in America, we don't see things like that. So it's, I find it interesting that things like that still occur in other areas.
Yeah. No, it's wild. And just to let you know the returns, this was the entire province or country, depending on your perspective. 71% of the people voted on the Good Friday Agreement in favor of it, supporting it. And then adding a and then in, adding a constitutional amendment to Ireland, 94% of the people backed it. But specifically in Northern Ireland, people were overwhelmingly in support of, let's cut the bullshit. Let's just, this is fucking enough. So, which is always good. Which is always good.
Yeah.
So, fewer people that get fucking, and fair play to like artists like U2. I know that Stiff Little Fingers did one too. The punk band from Belfast. They also talked about the troubles in that part of the world. But fair play to artists who can actually bring attention to this and be like, we make fun of U2 and Bono and shit, but like if you listen to the lyrics of that song, like that is, it is, it's a rough one. It's like, how long are we gonna sing this fucking song? And it's like, you're right, man. Like, how long is this shit gonna go on? Like, do we, like, really, we have to keep doing this? So yeah, man. Another interesting topic. Another interesting. I'm glad we got back into the separatists. So we'll do one again. The next one will be the one who lost out during Christopher's. We're kind of call it the decision maker. Christopher's the decision maker on the separatist episodes. I will present Christopher with a couple of options, and he gets to drop the hammer on his judgment of what's next. And the loser gets to go after the winner. So the loser still get the second place medal winner will still get to go, and we'll do that one sometime here in the future. But that's all I have. I can't do all of, like, it's an extensive piece of history. And I'm sorry, I'm trying to do it justice, but there's just, we could do, maybe we should have broken it down into a series, Christopher. I don't know. But in a
I
series
mean,
within a series.
a series within a series. We could
So,
have.
yeah, we could have. Upon retrospect, maybe the next time we'll do that. But this was your whirlwind tour of why Ireland was such a violent place for a very long time. So, again, I hope you at least got something out of it. And if you're looking for any source material, we'll have. Let me know. I'll make sure that I've got tons of books on the subject. Let me know if you're interested in reading any of them. You know how to get a hold of me. Those that you always reach out, I'm glad to talk to you. Let me know if you have any questions. But that's all we have for this week. That's all we have for this week. I'm going to turn it over to my friends while we wrap this up, starting with Christopher. Do you have anything to add or say?
Check us out on BitChute. You wanna look at our fucking faces.
All right.
Look at my fucking face.
How about you, Angel?
BitChute number two.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the support, everybody. Thank you very much to the patrons. We love you. Thank you very deeply for the support. And of course, to our sponsors, we appreciate all of you. And to our, of course, our friend Ray Faba, who's a great artist and is a great sponsor of the show. Thank you very much. We appreciate you. But ladies and gentlemen, also don't forget about Bobby and Fairly Decent Golf, premier sponsor of the Lake Erie Currents podcast. But ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to the end, which means it's time to talk about that ass and how terrible it stinks. My goodness gracious. Now, right now, the temperature here in Northeast Ohio is 45 degrees, very unspring-like. But if you want to put some spring in your step, you need to start washing your ass properly, and you can't use detergent-based soaps, ladies and gentlemen. We've been trying to tell you this for a long time. Todd, they just made a huge financial purchase. I can't say what it is, but he's been wasting his time doing that and not making soap. I know. I am working on it. We do have a stockpile, a small one. So if you want Gay soap, you know how to get a hold of me for that Gay soap, ladies and gentlemen. Please take care of your body. Guess what? The big holidays are gone, but we've got more to come. Memorial Day. Okay, Memorial Day is the next one. That is the unofficial kickoff to the
Mother's
summer.
Day.
My goodness, how could I even forget? Mother's Day. Mother's Day is coming up. The last thing any one of you motherfuckers wants to do is disappoint your mom. Okay? How are you going to disappoint her? Not by not bringing her flowers. Not even taking her to Taco Bell for a fine dining event. No. If you smell like shit, you smell like you've been eating Taco Bell and not washing your ass properly, mom's going to be very disappointed with you. Thank you for bringing that up, Angel. We're almost there.
You're welcome.
Memorial Day will be a different conversation altogether, believe me. But it all comes together in what sense? What sense? Washing that ass with Todd's Gay Soap. Todd's Gay Soap will fist fuck the stink out of your ass, your fat folds, your under tits, anywhere where you have stink and grime hiding. This soap is like a heat-seeking missile, finding it and fucking it out of your body, cleaning you. Take care of yourself. A for champion. Listen to your soap. Todd's Gay Soap, because Todd's Gay Soap is
Spoon-folded ass, baby. If you want to be a power bottom, you better power wash that pussy. Because ain't nobody want no dookie dick. In Todd's case, so.
That was amazing. Thank you very much. This man is indispensable. Thank you. Love you all. Have a great week.
Bye.
Dookie dick.